Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Wow, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the jungle. Knees.
Axel, you know, he's probably like 70 now. How do you think he's doing?
I remember that I didn't get in trouble, but my first day after my radio career was decimated by the CBS layoff.
Yes.
And
we were all affected.
We started a podcast. We did it for roughly a year before I got another radio gig. And when I got another radio gig, it was playing music on a classic rock station. And I was fine with that. I needed the job. And so I was looking forward to doing it. But I was still used to being, not just playing the music, but having fun with it, too.
And, well, they don't like that anymore, do they?
Right away. Yeah, no, they want Bob wants you to decide. That's even if they do that anymore. I got in trouble. I didn't get in trouble. I just sensed that the audience was unhappy based on the phones when the very first morning coming out of a Guns N' Roses song, I played and was like,
yeah.
And I played Cats.
Yes.
My famous Cat sounds that are somewhere in one of my soundboards somewhere. And they
Your world famous Cat sounds.
They came at me like really quick. These were purists that wanted to hear the same Axl Rose every day. And I was just like, yeah. It wasn't Welcome to the Jungle.
Actually,
what's the other hit?
Patience?
What are some of the no
Patience? That has some screaming in it. There's Paradise City.
Take me back to that's what. And then it's okay. It's when he finishes.
Well, Mike, what the purists?
Take me down to Paradise City.
And then it's like
meow.
It was
the purists at a classic rock station. This is all they want. XL 102. That's it. They don't want you to talk on the music.
Yeah.
They don't. They would really prefer you don't even identify the station. They just want the same 100 records over and over
again. I have
again.
To occasionally, and I'm talking about occasionally.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go, as much as not being a connoisseur of the very medium that I generate content for, the world of podcasts,
yeah.
I think I'm going to have to, because Sirius Satellite Radio bored the crap out of me.
I remember you complained it was too serious,
and to pay for that, it wasn't there anymore. If I wanted, you know, and so and then I went back to. I've been on FM radio for a month, and I can't do it.
No,
it's
impossible.
I can't do it. It's that yuck.
Well, is there anything there besides music and sports talk?
There's public radio that doesn't give me. If it was all news, I'd be fine. I'd be listening to the news to try to do that. But there's not enough of that. And then there's punditry, and I can't stand the punditry. So I think it's to the world of podcasts. But I'm not going to certainly do the true crime podcasts that are very successful.
No.
And I'm not going to do Rogan because foolishly, stupidly,
now
I feel jealousy when I listen to
okay.
Which makes no sense because
the way
he's
you
in
say
a different
that,
stratosphere.
I do like the idea of you doing a true crime podcast.
Could we make up the crime?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I think we just write a fake crime, get all those women in to listen. People get obsessed over crime.
Yeah, we never really said what happened to the guy before Josh.
Let me turn my microphone up here. Hold on. It seemed like an ordinary Saturday. But was it?
Thank you. I don't know why none of these true crimes have done a fake story yet.
I'm sure they have. I'm sure there's something out there. Because the people that consume that and the people that generate that mm-hmm. are probably relatively obsessive compulsive.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when you do that type of content, you know, it's all in the details. Mm-hmm. And Carl and I do our little side hustle letter writing, and the only thing that is so formulaic that we can keep it on in the background and it does not distract us is Dateline, because it's so and so after a while there'd be a trial. Yes, there is. So
anyway. It's almost mathematical how they present the shows. I mean, it's the same formula every time. And
then
because
I saw
of that,
we,
it's comfortable.
We saw an old one where the guy got went to not a jury trial but a judge trial, and the judge was my buddy, which was amazing.
Oh, no kidding!
He was on Dateline, and I know the guy pretty well, and I'm like, oh my god, can you imagine having your fate in front of that dude? That would scare the crap out of me. But anyway, he called me the night it was on. So,
cool.
It was pretty fun. It was a long time ago. It was a few years back. We begin today because recently our main man, Mr. Soroka, traveled with his family. He is an avid traveler.
Mm-hmm.
He's planning a trip across the pond early summer.
His passport is up to date. He's ready to go.
That's a good thing.
He's like George Hamilton. He goes into an airport and he says, "Take me to where it's sunny."
Take
I
me
just
to
don't
the
do
sun.
Any of the planning, so I don't know what's going
she
on.
She does all of it, and he has a family get together place up in the Outer Banks of the Carolinas.
It's a commune.
It's wonderful. How soon before you get up there, Rob? How soon?
He's invited me several times, and it's just never worked out with Carrie's schedule. I would go at the drop of a hat. It seems magnificent.
Rob will go, and it's a big house, right? It's a big family
it's a
house.
Huge, yeah, it's,
like they all are up there. They're all massive in that part of the world.
I think really seven bedrooms.
House. Oh my God! That's
God, it's
great.
Like the White House.
So.
So getting one of the things, of all the things he did, it was really just a getaway, right? You guys needed a little fresh air and some
sea air.
It was spring break,
so it was just my family and Kelly's mom, and we said, let's just get away for the week, someplace quiet. Going there in the off season is awesome because there's no one there.
Yeah, beach towns in the off season are pretty incredible. It's almost surreal how nice.
But
they
you
can
did
be.
Manage to squeeze in a little fun, and one of the things that you talked about the other day,
he squeezed it in, Mike,
was the horsey tour.
Yes,
I didn't know they had a horse. I thought that was a Virginia thing.
Yeah,
that they had the horses,
Mike. In Chincoteague is a big deal. The
ponies.
Hey! But if you go to the Chincoteague, you can actually still see wild horses. They're sickly and horrible looking, but they're there.
But here's the question:
similar.
Were they really wild?
Anyway, sorry. They used to swim them in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they did it.
So the way the Outer Banks are, Kerala, as the people say there, or Corolla, like everyone else says.
Right.
So they said they pronounce it Kerala.
They do. Even though it's spelled like the car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that is the very north of the Outer Banks. And you go to a point where the road ends and it just becomes beach. And you have to drive on the sand and you can go up and there's all these really rich houses up there. I don't know if it was true or not. I was told Tom Cruise had a house way up there a while ago.
Really?
So I've been going here for probably 25 years.
Did you drive on the sand?
So I've never driven on the sand before.
Okay.
That's why we said, I've seen these horse tours that take you up there.
I've driven on the sand multiple times, not intentionally.
Well, it was usually on a golf cart, wasn't it?
No.
You, well, that right. was a, been towed out of the sand
trip.
Also?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I just spun out.
Yeah. And then behind them, can you write that over, please?
Mud, gravel, sand.
Oh,
I've driven on all surfaces.
Muck and mire. Yes, swamp.
So I've never done this before because I look at the price. and it is $60 a person.
That's a bit high.
But every time I'm like, well, one day we'll do it. And I said, all right, it's the off season. We can do it now. So I go there and the vehicles, it's a tour guide. It's a 2-hour tour. And you get in these military Hummers where they've cut them open, where they're just open seat in.
That's fun right there.
That was fun. It was each vehicle holds 13 people. So the first thing I'm doing is the math about how much money they're making on this car trip.
Yeah.
$60 a person?
Yes. Times 13.
Wow. That's nice. That's
sweet. Yeah, I might buy a Hummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we did a tour in Savannah, a ghost tour, and the vehicle was a hollowed out hearse with stools in it. So it looked like an El Camino by the time they took the back.
Do you remember
off
how much they charged you for that?
It wasn't $60. It was like 24, I think.
Okay. All right. Yeah. There's inflation. One down here. I watched the guy online. He's got like cobras and mambas and dangerous snakes. I think it's Chandler's Wildlife Refuge, and he gives tours, and it's $1,000.
What?
For a tour of 5 people. $1,000.
No, that's it. I'm sorry.
But I mean, this guy, you should see what this guy's got, though. He's got all these cool snakes.
Yeah, but it's you've like already seen it online.
Safari, right?
Yeah.
It's a private sanctuary. I think the guy's
name. It's like Dr. Moreau.
Well, he looks, he's a long-haired dude that's got a beard. He's kind of a ruggedly good-looking guy.
Does he have a miniature version of himself that follows him around?
No, he does not. But it's interesting. So, I mean, but it's with the family. If you're not doing anything that week, why not, right?
So before we start driving, the tour guide turns around and goes, just so you know, this is the first week that we're open for the season. It's very early. There's a good chance we don't see any horses.
Right. After you pay?
Out of the gate.
After you pay. After
out
you
of
pay,
the gate.
After you get
for
in.
For 60 beans.
Before you leave the little shopping center, because we got to drive a couple miles.
I bet you're in the vehicle when he says that, right?
Oh, seatbelts on. Yes.
Yeah, seatbelts on. Now I can stick you with the fact that it might be a bust.
So, I think I hate to pimp you, Mike, but that deserves a Keith Morrison analysis.
And it turned out. The $60 per person tour didn't have a single horse. How about that? But it did have murder.
But
wow.
I'm okay.
I get it. They do the same thing with charter. That's charter fishing.
Yeah.
Charter fishing.
Correct.
And whale watching, they'll say, if you don't see a whale.
Rob,
we'll
can you turn that? Because you are yelling and it's a little loud in my headphones
can do that
today. Okay, very good.
Mike, they do the same thing on whale watching tours, that if you don't see a whale, they'll give you a free ticket like next week. But here's the problem. You're not there for 2 weeks. You're there for 1 week, and you want to see whales that day, and you want to see Tom Cruise that day.
But you're talking about nature, so it is a situation where, you know, luck of the draw. The horses aren't going to say, oh, it's 11:45. We got to be down at that area of the beach where the trucks come.
Yeah, they're not very smart animals.
I get that.
So that's immediately a red flag for me, but whatever. I'm in a good mood. I'm just relaxed, and I'm all – so we go down the road. We hit
decent
the sand.
Temperature. Was it a decent temperature?
A little chilly. It was like probably 60 degrees.
Did you have a gummy?
I did have a gummy.
Okay.
I did prepare.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, that's going into something like this where it might be ridiculous. I'm like, yes, I prepared.
It knocks it down a notch. I agree. I think he did good. Yeah.
Yeah, because suddenly I don't care about the horses. I'm enjoying the car ride.
It's a car ride on the beach.
Yeah.
We're driving on sand.
So once you hit the end of the road, you go on sand and you go, I think it's about 2 miles with nothing but beach and water. And you're going around some old tree stumps that are in the water. And they're telling you how these horses are only here because the Spaniard settlers brought them. And the boat crashed into these trees, and all the horses got out.
Those Spaniards traveled the world and wrecked their ships, but they always wrecked them when they were, legitimately so close to land. They did the same thing to the Armada, the Irish, you know. Yeah.
Well, there's not much to hit out in the ocean.
No, that's right. So
you could hit another Spanish ship.
Another galleon.
So they talk about how these are the wild horses. There's a fence where the road meets just to stop the horses from coming down because so many have gotten hit by
Rob
the cars.
Hasn't gone to his musical bank yet since we're talking about the, you know, hitting wild horses or coming upon wild horses.
You want the Rolling Stones back in the classic rock thing?
No. What's the one? Wildfire.
Oh, Michael Martin Murphy. I'm sorry, Josh. I won't interrupt you with that song. Continue.
Do it. So we are. We drive down like 2 miles, and it's cool. I'm enjoying myself, and then we get to the rich homes. So now I don't care about horses. I'm checking out all the houses.
Sure.
Now I'm checking out. You have a huge house. What's the difference between your big house and because they're all big. So
location.
How do you determine the location?
Location. They're on the sand.
Okay.
They're on the sand. They all have four-wheel drive vehicles to get out there and walking distance to the beach.
Does it look kind of cool?
It looks cool, and I didn't know there's a little neighborhood, so little sandy streets that you'll go around. So we turn into one of the neighborhoods, and he's like, let's see if there's some horses down here. And we go around the bend, and he slows down, and he gets all excited.
Let's see if there's horses down here.
And he gets all excited, and he goes, oh, here's a family of horses, and it's the baby... I forget what they call a baby horse.
Foal.
Foal, yeah.
Or colt.
And he's like, yeah, foal. He's like, this is really special because this is the first time we've seen this foal. It was just born. No one's seen it yet this season.
So are you saying that these houses that are special are near the horses too? So
the horses wander around their yards.
Their yards. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you know, that sounds glamorous, but you don't want to be the person that mows that grass.
And isn't that... isolated? No one could get out there. And no one could hear you scream.
So we pull up on this family of horses.
Yes.
And there's two horses standing, and they've got their knees locked. They're not moving. They look like statues. And he's telling
beautiful
me.
Beautiful moment.
Yeah. Well,
Are they statues, though?
That's what's in my head. I'm like, these are fake. Because what are the chances that the first horse we see is one that no one has seen before? I'm like, this sounds like a Disney tour guide.
That's the gummy talking.
I was going to say, are the horses moving like you're on the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland?
Yes. So the two big horses are not moving. The baby is laying on the ground, not moving. And he's telling me about how these horses sleep standing up with their eyes open. And then the fourth horse.
Like Mike does.
The fourth horse is at the... is drinking water. And sure. All that's moving on its head is the neck going Hold up on. And down. Nothing else.
Wow.
So did it really, really appear on first glance to be animatronic?
I was sure these things were animatronic as we drove away.
That's
positive.
Too funny. That's
then
funny.
We go a little further and we're going around and he spots two more horses. And these guys are probably 200 yards away on top of a sand dune with the sun behind them. It looks awesome.
Right?
But idyllic. Again, they're not moving. So I'm obsessed that these horses are not moving. He goes, let's go to try to get around the back to get a better view.
Did you like lean over to your wife and say, I think they're fake?
No, I was
shut up, you're high.
No.
Shut up, you're really high. Of course they're real.
Horses are fake and I want Doritos.
So I was keeping it to myself. I was taking pictures like they're real.
Yeah. Or were you just looking for evidence for the class action suit?
But you smell a rat. And when Josh latches onto a conspiracy theory, get out, ladies and gentlemen.
So then we go around the backside of the dune, and he can't find the horse. So then he spins around. And again, I'm just enjoying riding on the beach through these neighborhoods, being on the sand.
I would do that. I'd love it. It'd be a fantastic
It was worth
beach.
The money. Yeah. If I didn't see any horses, it was worth the money.
Was it morning or afternoon that you were doing this?
We went evening. We went like 6 o'clock.
Evening.
Oh.
So the sun was going
the
down.
Supper club version of it.
Yeah. Right.
And also the horses look more realistic in dim lighting, Mike.
Right. So we went around the back and I saw the horse move.
There you go.
We caught the horse moved.
And are they beautiful?
Yeah, they're awesome looking.
Okay.
They're all brown like a horse.
Yeah, I can show you things that are all brown that aren't
If you want to get Josh's review, TripAdvisor Josh Soroka says, they're all brown like a horse.
How did the horse look?
Then,
brown. Like a
horse.
Like a horse.
Actually, ask me again, all right?
All right, here we go. What color were they?
Brown.
Like?
A horse.
Well, I was trying to think of how to describe them. And they're horses. Everyone knows what a horse looks like.
That's not what you're here for. You're here talking about your family
vacation.
Mike,
it was as brown as 1,000 cookies.
Very cool. Was there any scat?
I did not see any. We saw one more horse that was hanging out like by some cars in the driveway. And that moved a little bit, so I was trusting that. Then we went back on the way back to check in on the family again.
The foal.
Yeah, and the family and the foal were gone.
Okay.
Oh, dead.
But then we found them. No, and found them moving.
Dead.
And walking. So none of them were fake. They were all real. I eventually saw them all move.
Once again, though, can you imagine you're up in the morning having your morning cup of coffee out on your deck and you just come out and some of the family of those horses walk by? Oh, man,
yeah.
The one percenters. The one percent. That is just
And you
special.
Say, look, horses, and they kick you in the head with their back leg, and you're dead.
No, why can't
I don't
you get
think
it in the spirit of the moment? I mean,
no,
it's
Mike,
beautiful.
I don't think.
It's nature.
I think, first of all, I think the horses are probably sickly because no one's really taking care of them.
And they're wild horses.
Yeah, and they're probably sickly.
Who's taking care of your deer?
Yeah. Well, they're sickly too. What, you want to go make out with a deer?
They're not sick. Deer
sick. Yeah, they're sick.
They're sickly. Why are you poo-pooing this?
No,
they
I'm
have a lot of laws for people to not interact with the horses so that they don't get sick.
But what
so
if
that
they
we don't
break
give
a leg?
Them our disease.
Let's say one of these wild horses breaks a leg. Who's going to shoot it?
Oh, I know what they do.
Jesus.
Because they told us this.
Oh.
If a horse is sick or breaks a leg or something, that's the only time that human interaction is allowed.
Okay.
And right. they so come in, they tranquilize the horse, and they immediately take it out to a sanctuary, and it never returns again.
Okay. All right. So they save the horse, you think?
They save the horse, and they won't bring it back because they don't want any disease or anything around
Do
the wild
not,
horses.
The weirdness of you that is every day, every yes. single day of your likes and your dislikes, the things that make you happy and the things that annoy you,
right.
Sometimes catch me by surprise. You seem to have a great deal of disdain for what would be just kind of a wonderful experience. Does this have anything to do with your experiencing down at the beach where you've haven't
well,
you gone
I have
to see
seen,
them?
I've seen the horses at Chincoteague, and they don't look well. They look really ill because they've all been inbred for years and they live out there and they just look sickly. And I think it's very nice to see a horse in the wild, but aren't we a little past that? Shouldn't we domesticate them all and protect them? And
I don't know that we live in an environment. Your mind works sometimes. You know,
it's just me.
What about all the other wild animals?
Why don't we bring concrete trucks down and pave the beach then?
No,
so we can do
I
it
love
that
the
way.
Beach. But Josh himself said the horses don't belong there. They were lost by the Spaniards. Those horses, they're
the
not
horses,
native to that
The
land.
Horses on our continent came from afar,
yeah.
right?
They belong there more than we do.
But the horses came from other parts of the world. The world, it's a giant globe with...
Mike,
with,
I guess what it is, I
don't
worry...
Don't belong there?
I worry about the horses.
No, you don't.
I don't think
horses.
No, I love horses. Are you kidding? I just don't think the horse is living its best life.
Is this one of those things where you're just opening your mouth and seeing what comes out?
No,
you really
no.
feel this way?
I think that these horses were probably sickly, and I think it's an abuse of nature to sell $60 tours to see these sick horses.
That's what it is. It's the $60.
It's the money.
Yeah.
They did not look sick. And then the next day, I had lunch with Sam Walker.
Oh, listener.
A listener.
Yeah.
And he informed me that everyone there is excited for that new baby horse. So
because the fact that the horse
the community really likes
was born in born in the wild
in the
down
wild.
There is proof that that the ecosystem's working.
Yeah.
Right.
If it survives.
Yeah. We feel the same way. If it survives, we feel the same way about the Burmese pythons down here.
If
hey,
they
they're
survive,
breeding.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what, Mike? The best horse of all. Thank you, not Aesop. The best use of a horse is the Budweiser Clydesdales. You see, they are bred for a task. They do it. They are babied. They are well taken care of, and they are beautiful. And you don't have to worry about if they break a leg, sending them off to a sanctuary. A horse is a work animal and should not exist in the wild.
That's true. You took your day off, one of your vacation days, to go see those horses.
Exactly.
all chained to the.
Well, you don't want them to make a break for it. You have to take care of them.
With your academic credentials and your ability to, your gift of gab, I don't think the listeners, not all of them, have come to the realization that I came to 15, 20 years ago, that you have a brain the size of an acorn.
No, I truly believe. I think it's a big brain. I just think it runs badly.
No, it's overfilled with useless stuff.
It's television. It's pre-done. Rob has a TV dinner brain. So the concept of horses in the wild, which, by the way, in our continent has been there. They were all wild originally.
Sure. If you go back far enough, even the dinosaurs were wild. But we live in a modern day. Right. And we need to harness it.
Not during the domesticated dinosaur era.
Well, Rob knows that Mr. Ed wasn't wild.
Right.
No, but he...
My favorite Don Geronimo line that I heard before I was working with him, Kentucky Derby this weekend, my money's on Mr. Ed. He told me he was going to win. Bada bing, bada boom, bada bing. So did you feel at the end of your tour that it was worth it?
Yes, which That's shocked right. me because I went into it not expecting that, and I really enjoyed it.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it. And it's open air, right? You're out there.
It's open air.
I love that.
Would enjoy it too, but I'd be conflicted because of the horses.
Down here, the equivalent of what we have in Southwest Florida, very close to the Everglades down here where I live, is the swamp tour.
I've done that.
The airboat tour. And I've only been to one. I went to Everglades City, which is a very interesting place way down.
How did they name it?
It's in the middle of the Everglades. And I go out, and it was apparent to me that my vision of an airboat tour was hop on the airboat, do what you did, where you just go a couple of miles out into nowhere. No, this was an airboat tour where they own the property. And you essentially went on in a square,
a tour,
passing other airboats. And they turned it into a Disney ride. Anytime you do that kind of stuff, I like the idea of just going out into the wide open. And if it's not like that,
our airboat was out in the wide open, and we didn't see any other people. And we went out in the Everglades, and he knew hot spots for gators, and he took us there, and we saw 6 foot, 7 foot gators. It was
incredible.
You
bring up Chandler's Wildlife? I think that's what it is. I'm pretty sure that's the guy's first name is Chandler, and I think that he has a wildlife sanctuary. He's a bit of a hippie.
Chandler's Wild World.
Chandler's Wild World.
It's in La Plata, isn't it?
He's got no. It's right down here. Well, somewhere in South Florida.
Because it's called Wild World.
A lot of venomous snakes. He's got a lot of creatures that are exotic animals down here. The ecosystem down here is perfect for a lot of exotic animals. And
does Chandler look like the Tiger King?
No.
Okay.
Chandler looks like Jesus.
Oh, well, that's why you like him.
Because he looks like our Lord and Savior.
That's right.
Or at least the pictures that I grew up with in my house with the crucifixes.
I imagine there'll be a lot of business at Chandler's come Easter because of his resemblance to our Lord.
Go down and see the stigmata. So this guy, and he's got another guy that works with him that has all of the piercings and the tattoos on his face, and his ears have the big round. He's one of those guys.
Every time a snake bites him, he's got to fill the hole.
He got bitten on a road trip by a cobra, and that was a very interesting episode. Very scary because he knows how to deal with it, but it was he was freaked out. You could tell legitimately freaked out. So it's Chandler's Wild World.
And you have or haven't done his tour because, it's too expensive to do, right?
Well, no, I mean, I think that even with a maximum of five people, it's even expensive if you break it out that way. So
they have a thing like that at Graceland that's too expensive.
How much was the Graceland tour the last time?
I think the 8,000, the super behind the scenes Graceland tour now is, I think, $8,000 for five people.
What?
But that involves like really, really,
going into his bedroom and stuff.
Well,
like that?
You don't get the bed, but you get to go into the archives. You get to touch stuff, and you get dinner.
Horrible! What a ripoff!
It is a ripoff, especially if Mark Riddell was still alive, I could have gone down and done it for free.
Okay,
that's sad. But it was. But those tour things, what they do is they find the people that's their dream. And if it's your dream to see a Burmese python, $1,000 five ways is not that much.
Do we have the Chandler video? Do we have anything?
I think so. It's struggling. He's got all his videos blocked, so I can't download them. Let me see if it works this way. He really doesn't want people to show off his videos.
That's weird.
He's got a YouTube channel. There's the guy. That's him. That's him with a
cobra. Oh, he looks like a young, handsome Jesus.
There he is.
Got some production value.
That's not what we are looking for. Predatory fins. What?
Definitely click like.
This is his place, apparently.
Oh, okay.
This is the sanctuary. All right.
Oh, it doesn't look too horrifying, does it?
Well, that cage looks homemade.
Yeah, I would think a snake could get out of there.
I think he's kind of a... well, no, they don't have the snakes there. The snakes are inside.
Okay. Right.
That's the staff.
Secured.
They keep the staff in a cage?
All right. There is... I don't know what we're looking at there.
Well, he's got a big leather glove, and is it a bird of some sort?
I think it's some type of dead animal, I think. I think they're feeding... there's a bird, an owl, I think, on the post behind him.
Oh, I hate owls.
And now we get an ad.
Of course.
All right. Enough. It's so frustrating to see that. So that's the guy, just in case. And if I was really interested in doing this, I wouldn't have known the price. But as soon as I saw that, book a tour, I went to his website, and that's when I found out it was a grand for, and I think he's a bit of a YouTube sensation. So
yes,
he takes people on the tours, and that's why he charges what he does.
For a fraction of that $1,000, you can go to Gatorama, and that's great.
Gatorama was nice, but only a couple of snakes in cages.
Yeah,
terrariums.
We have the alligator farm here, which is pretty cool to see. 200 alligators.
Yeah.
But this is like he is a certified, very, very well trained snake handler who knows what he's doing. And if you saw the size of these king cobras that he takes out of their enclosures, he breeds snakes, he breeds venomous snakes. And there's a whole culture of this down here in South Florida. And I've always been fascinated by things that frighten me. And what frightens you more than a venomous snake? And I've always wanted to, I'm always fascinated by that part of the zoo, and I'd like to check it out. I think it would be very, very interesting.
I kind of hoped that Chandler would look like Keith from Gemstones, the boyfriend.
No, not even. But it's kind of a variation of a mullet when you talk
about
that.
Yeah.
Florida haircut.
It's a very Florida haircut. And I have recently been paying a lot more attention to my son's, I say that with quotation marks, my son's ball python, Jake the snake.
Which is actually your snake.
And Jake is doing pretty well. Do you want to see Jake? I can go get Jake.
Yeah, I'd love it. Or are you going to charge us $1,000 to see him?
No, I'll show you.
Would you like
right
to first
now.
See Chandler's cobra?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's
look out. Are you speaking in code?
This is an Indonesian king cobra. King cobras are the largest venomous snake on the planet. She's really on guard right now because I'm just invading her personal bubble. But I'm keeping myself right out of the striking distance so I can work around her. This snake had a dirty enclosure. I just wanted to take her out and work with her a little bit. Easy. The thing is, they focus on movement, so...
I like this guy?
That I just stay out.
It's horrifying.
I got to make sure I stay out.
Why is it
for line of vision?
Because look at it.
So she's going to get too upset with me. Look at that.
You know what this is? This is like the place in White Lotus that he just knocks all the snakes and lets them all out.
Yeah, exactly.
That allows them to growl.
No, it's not.
And she's a female. Females will actually build a nest using their coils about a couple feet off the ground, and they'll guard it like a crocodile guarding its babies. Isn't that cool? Indonesian. No. King cobra.
Hold on a second. What is going on with you? Is there anything? Why do you hate everything?
I don't like this. I don't like snakes at all. And you knew this. You made me feed your snake. You made me look at your snake. You made me deal with your snake. And I don't like snakes.
Explain to Josh the whole thing with snakes.
Okay. Snakes are, they're creepy. They are not like us. And I don't care for them because I don't think they can be trusted. You, of anyone, should know, Josh, the history of the snake in the Bible. It has definitely got a bad rep preceding it. Right?
I don't like snakes. Yeah. Definitely don't eat any apple a snake brings me.
What?
Go back to your Bible.
Definitely.
Reference.
That's a definite.
But, no,
but like,
I don't,
would you watch that video for pleasure?
No.
No, no, I don't like snakes.
No.
Now, when I, Mike knew I didn't like
trip.
No,
no, we, no.
Tripped coming in here. My assistant, who is sick from school again, 2 days in a row, very, very, not under the weather, and legitimately so. He's going to bring in the snake.
Okay,
so it's good. They're
is
incredible.
This the
creatures.
First time he's interacted with the snake in months.
He actually is stepping it up a little bit more lately with that and helping with Jake the snake. But you
is
know,
Jake
Jake's
growing?
Thriving.
Has Jake shed his skin lately?
I'll let you decide. It's been a while since we've had Jake on the show. So, but Rob, they fascinate me just because of the size of these creatures. Can you imagine
I suppose
being in the wild and coming.
And
across
I understand
one
being
of those?
Drawn to what you're scared of. I had the same relationship with wax museums.
A lot of things scared
oh, I don't
you.
Like
you
those
probably
either.
Did with being at home, being a you know, spending most of your childhood as.
And adulthood.
As a shut-in.
Sure.
You probably...
They actually, Mike, they created a TV program for me on Sunday so I could go to Mass. It was called Mass for Shut-ins.
Mass for Shut-ins. Oh, my God, do I remember that. But it's fascinating. It really is.
Now,
what?
Hey, everybody's there.
He's not in the enclosure.
And this is the problem with snakes.
How unfortunate.
You know... I was going to say it's about you've had Jake long enough that this is when Florida people are supposed to just let him out into the wild.
Yeah.
Is my understanding.
He's got to go find him now. The snake is not in his enclosure. So he knew I didn't like snakes. And I visited with him and he said things like, do you want to hold him? I said no. And then one morning when we were getting ready to finish the studio build, we had to zip off to the pet store to get something to feed Jake. Now, I think that Jake has graduated to rats, but at this time it was just a fat mouse, and I got him in a little, he was alive, and I got him in a little box with air holes, and we were driving back, and it began to really dawn on me that we were going to feed this creature to a snake, and hi, Carla. She'll need to put on some sort of headphones.
Yeah, she can't hear us.
She really looks like a, can you hold up a copy of today's paper so we know you're okay?
I don't think she can hear us.
This
she can't.
Ridiculous.
What, the snake being gone?
Don't open the garage, okay?
No, she still can't
He's
hear
escaped.
Us.
Don't open the garage.
Don't open the garage.
We're Stubby.
Stubby? I don't know, but the snake has got a huge bulging belly.
If this was a sitcom, this is where we'd see the snake just come down that boom arm.
Yeah exactly. Exactly.
Under the lock.
But he got me to put the mouse in the terrarium where the snake was. And everything was going great for about 20
Holy
seconds. Mike, the language.
Is it really missing?
He got out. I'll double check everything. I don't have time to do it right now, obviously, but I have the garage sealed.
If there were only two other people in your house that could look for him.
Well, we have one adult who does not even want to be in the garage if he got out.
Well, I mean, she can at least see him.
Is that why she came and just sat on camera?
Yes.
I mean, it's just like
it's eerie.
I'm just stunned.
Has he ever escaped before?
Oh, yeah, a few times.
All right. You know what? Have Michael look in the bottom of his closet. Wasn't he there once?
No, he's not in Michael's room. He's in the garage with the door shut.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
he's
findable. He gets behind things and he hides in little nooks and crannies.
Look in the pipe and drape.
That's
Have you
all
checked
gone.
On the dogs?
Yeah, the dogs are fine. The dogs are fine. This is weird. This is really happening in real life. This is actual real time that the snake has gotten out. The snake has gotten out.
The reason with the snake running around, you know, willy-nilly, is that why Carla chose to wear her sunglasses?
God. You are. Let's take a break before I fly to Leesburg.
It was a little creepy. She just came and sat in your seat. She can't hear us.
Right.
She's just sitting there staring at the camera.
And then in the middle of that, she says, he's escaped.
The it swelling like hasn't gone down, you know, yet. So that's it.
Me either, Mike. And
I know. It's been there for
years.
A long time. All right, go to break, please. Play the goddamn thing. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll keep you updated. What happened?
Okay, let me justify.
Oh, okay, kill the music.
Can you guys hear me?
All right.
God, everyone can
come
hear
around,
you.
Come around and just. All right, here we go. All right.
Okay, so I can't hear you guys. So I did want to come on and talk about it, but then I realized once I sat down that there was no communicating with you two. So I kind of just sat here and said what I said.
Yeah, you
sorry.
Did. We tried to talk around it.
Hold on. Here. Take the headphones.
I really thought you were going to hand her the snake.
All right. Hold on a second.
Carla, now that you can hear us. Carla, hold can on. You hear us?
God damn it. This whole thing is like my whole day is disrupted.
Wow.
Frustrated.
So that'd be a no.
No. But remember, you can pay $60 for a tour of Mike's garage and you might see a snake.
Oh, I can hear you guys.
All right, now she can hear you.
I have to admit, that was very creepy and I apologize.
Yeah, the fact
that
monitor, I mean
that tells you where you are on the camera. There you go.
Yeah, right. I know.
All right, very
but
good.
It's
so
an awkward
we were just if nothing else, Carla, we were concerned because you sat motionless like one of Josh's horses with your sunglasses on.
I'd like you to be seen on camera if possible.
Honey, it's just uncomfortable. So you just need to relax, okay? I know you're uptight because the snake is loose.
So we were worried about you, Carla. You were motionless and you were wearing sunglasses. And then just out of the blue, you said, he's
a
snake.
Look at that shot. Look at it. Do you want that shot on the...
I'm okay with it. I'm not going to be here long. I'm just not going to be here long.
Well, that's good. Now she looks like she's recording a voiceover for a Warner Brothers cartoon.
All right. Yeah. So this is very disturbing. So any other time that Jake has gotten out of the cage, it's because Mike forgot to put the enclosure on.
Oh, it's not Mike's fault.
It is.
No, it's not.
It always is.
Well, Mike feeds the snake. Mike does everything for the snake. He wouldn't forget the enclosure.
So the enclosure is actually on. So how did the snake escape?
You have to ask the masked magician.
Oh, my God. It's somewhere. I hate snakes. I hate it.
Hey, you know what, Carla? Here, take some solace in this. This will comfort you. Mm-hmm. Once you capture him and he will be found and they put him back in the enclosure, mm-hmm. now he knows how to escape the enclosure, so you're never safe.
Well, maybe we won't find him.
Oh.
Right. Maybe you'll leave that garage door open.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. This is definitely
what did you
a,
did
a
you have,
moment.
Like, some undistinguishable chicken for
how
dinner
long have
last
I
night?
Been in this studio? You think maybe, Dip McFadigan can get his act together for when people duck into the studio? I think at some point I need to address these things. So as I'm sitting here, where do I put these headphones?
Well, Mike, you have to admit your house is in a state of panic.
Yeah, it is now. I'm discombobulated. I am very, well, very.
There, okay, that's good. Were you looking for the snake? He's not there.
Well, at least we got that video of Michael out in the garage, getting the snake back in its cage.
I'm very. It's very odd.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
This is strange, folks. Oh my God, we're running late. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got news and everything. And then after the show is over, I gotta go deal with this. Put this fire out in the O'Mara household. You never know. We put this show in the can. We do it on tape, but this is happening in real time.
Live
on tape from Hollywood. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. What am I going to do about this?
Hey there, it's Rob. Springtime is here, and Josh Sroka saw his shadow, so that means baseball season is officially underway. Don't miss your chance to add your favorite players to your Prize Picks lineup. Prize Picks. This app is so easy to use. Carrie had never looked at anything like this before, and in one night, she's picked it up, and she's winning money, and she's not giving any of the money to me. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday. Now, I don't think Carrie's ever won a taco, but each Tuesday, Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide more value for your lineups. All withdrawals are safe, fast, and secure. When Carrie's picks hit, she can get her money in like 15 minutes. Prize Picks. It is the best way to win real money this baseball season. Download the app today and use code TMOS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Remember, download the app, use the code TMOS, and $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night, cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.
Oh, goodness gracious. This program sponsored by Liquid IV. Listen, snake lovers. When is the last time you really focused on you? Has it been a while? Yes? No? So? Yes? Yes? Treat yourself. Treat yourself by gifting yourself everyday indulgences of extraordinary hydration from Liquid IV. Powered by Live Hydroscience, it's a registered trademark. You see me drinking it daily. I don't like to do the show without Liquid IV. Here it is. What if the snake would
delicious. He likes the new mouse-flavored Liquid IV.
You know, it's not like if he escaped, the ecosystem wouldn't be suitable for him.
He'd do fine out there.
He would.
A horse, on the other hand, wouldn't do well in your neighborhood.
The flavors, sure it would. The flavors to beat the ban from grape and lemon lime, pina colada, sugar-free raspberry, lemonade, white peach, rainbow sherbet. White peach is the best. It's low-key delicious, and it seduces my tongue.
It does. You're having a love affair with that Pizza Hut glass. Mike, you might want to look in the glass and make sure the snake's not in there. Everything is suspicious now.
Hey, you think that's a pile of cords on the ground?
You never know.
When did I get an orange and black microphone cable?
You know, folks, please pass the word. This show, you never know. Each day is a different weird thing. It's low-key delicious. It seduces my tongue in a way no other drink has done before. And unlike sports drinks, Liquid IV delivers 3 times the electrolytes, 8 essential vitamins, and is always non-GMO, vegan, and allergen-free. Liquid IV, it's delish. Tear, pour, live more. Liquid IV, treat yourself to extraordinary hydration from Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the TMOS code at checkout. That's 20%. First order, code TMOS, liquidiv.com, and we thank you. And now it's time to do the thing. I'll be honest with
you. You don't seem too distracted.
I will be having a little trouble with focus, but bear with me. Hopefully everything will work out just fine. Some of it really fine.
Nobody will boo, and nobody will hiss.
Yeah. You know, just be prepared. Some of this show will be a little distracted. I can't help it. And now I'm trying to find the Some of It Really Fine that I loaded before the show, and I'm just a dope.
Mike, it's okay. It's okay.
I mean, some of it, I'm fine.
You prepared an entire newscast, and you should share it.
All right.
It's important to people.
Snake's really fine.
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine.
Thank you. God, it took 2 hours to do that. Such a moron. How long have I been in this racket? You know that? Really?
Hey, you know what? This podcasting
racket
has been
pretty good.
You know what
the problem is? Will you agree, finally? We need to move away from the virtual. I mean, I remember the old big old clanky analog machines that we used to play?
Instant replays.
Yes.
Yeah.
These little creepy little soundboards. George Clooney is done being your heartthrob, ladies and gentlemen.
I beg to differ.
During a 60 Minutes interview this
week,
he said, quote, look, I'm 63 years old. I'm not trying to compete with 25-year-old leading men. That's not my job. I'm not doing romantic films anymore. Okay.
You know what? This is great for 2 reasons. One is that George Clooney is being so frank with us. Also that this indicates that CBS has brought back 60 Minutes. Now, it's just on the internet. Because they canceled 60 Minutes, but this interview you
can
catch.
Your obsessive compulsive jokes that you do for yourself
yep,
do not always resonate. And this would be a classic example of a time where I'm just trying to read this story. So to you, to fly off on one of your tangents, and I know you're filled with joy because my snake escaped. But
that does, Mike, that troubles
the
me.
The 60 Minutes bit, I think it's funny when you just give us the line, they've canceled it, when you know they haven't. And let me just share the George Clooney story on 60 Minutes, all right? His last romantic movie, 2022's Ticket to Paradise with Julia Roberts. Did anybody see that?
No, I was mad at the whole notion of them being in a movie together. It's like, too much.
And I'm a big fan of George Clooney, and I also was kind of like meh about that myself. At the time, he said he just wanted to do something light because world events were getting too heavy.
I found him.
Where was he?
He was in the rolled-up carpet.
In the enclosure. Enclosure. Oh, he's in the rolled up carpet?
Yeah.
In the garage?
What am I saying?
Hey, attitude.
I'm just glad their pipe and drapes is out of the garage.
By the way, he looks pretty
healthy. He'd be in a pipe.
He looks like he might be going to school soon.
Maybe at 10 o'clock.
Yeah. How about that? Well, that's good. Crisis averted. Yeah. Here's what George Clooney said. He said, I felt like we all needed a break. I needed a break. I needed it to be a little carefree. On a related note, President Trump didn't like the interview. He called Clooney, quote, a second-rate movie. Said, well, look, he'll never change, but Jesus Christ.
I'm glad he's
taking
the president.
Are you even taking 8 seconds? Well, because you're Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And nothing's too petty. He called him a second-rate movie star and a failed political pundit.
Yeah.
He's a failure. From his mansion in Lake Como, he's a failure. Jeez.
Remember when Jimmy Carter had a huge hard-on for Robert Redford?
He's a second-rate movie star. Oh, man, I'm suddenly weirdly refocused. A weird conspiracy theory has been floating around for years now that JonBenet Ramsey was not murdered. This part is the weirdest and funny a little bit. Not funny that she was murdered, of course. Her parents, in conjunction with the Illuminati, faked her death, that's what they say, and hid her away so she could resurface years later as Katy Perry.
What? That's not so.
Last month, someone posted a video using AI to transform JonBenet into Katy to the tune of Katy's hit song, Wide Awake. And Katy actually commented on the post saying, wait, am I? Obviously,
that's
she's
funny.
Not. Yeah, that is a funny part. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Let's bring him in.
Oh, he's gonna have that new carpet smell.
Oh, he's lively. He's lively.
Well, he's pissed.
Yeah, he's mad. He got caught.
You know how he escaped?
How did he escape? Why don't you take this?
Did you hide a file in the rat?
Right, hold on a second. All right, let me turn you on here. Go ahead, Michael. What is it?
So you know the little.
Sorry.
He's down in the cistern again.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Wow.
So you know the little locks on the top of the cage?
Yes.
You know how sometimes we press those?
Yeah.
And like they don't lock.
Uh
huh. He's so strong that he literally lifted that up on his own and slivered out.
Oh, wow. All right, I'll double-check those a little bit later. Thank you, buddy, for finding
me. I think he's also blaming you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of blaming me, right, that I didn't fasten them enough, maybe?
But I saw his little head peeking out of the carpet.
He's gorgeous, isn't he? Isn't he beautiful? Look at him.
He's grown.
Look at that.
He's definitely grown.
There he is.
How old is he now?
Yeah. It's time to let him free.
What do you mean, let him free? What are you talking about, let him free?
A snake needs to run and run
take
free.
Take him so I can get back on track with the show, and I'll come in and double.
You owe me money.
I owe you money, sure. Get out.
Hey.
What? He's talking to me off camera. Michael, I'm doing a show here. Please. Thank you.
Can I get something on my game?
No, go.
He found the snake. Buy him Fortnite
credits. The way, you seem very healthy to me. Because you're excited, okay.
Yeah, it's adrenaline. Yeah.
Maybe we can pop you down to school later on. There you go. How about that? Oh, where was I? I'm sorry.
George Clooney was about a snake.
JonBenet is Katy Perry.
JonBenet is a snake.
Yeah,
yes.
So that's a dumb story. Moving right along, ladies and gentlemen, the cause of death. This is a terrible story, but I am intrigued. I don't know what's going on with this. Miller Gardner, the teenage son of New York Yankees player Brett Gardner. Anybody that knows sports, anybody that knows baseball, remembers Brett Gardner when he played for the Yankees. Yeah. Super tough player, hard-nosed player. you know, every bit of baseball player, and unfortunately lost his 14-year-old son. Really a terrible tragedy. His wife, the results of his death have been revealed. The 14-year-old son died by asphyxiation after a possible intoxication after apparently ingesting some food. What? What does that mean?
Sounds to me like he got really drunk and he tried to eat and it choked him. It used to happen to Elvis when he was on drugs. He would fall asleep with hamburger in his throat.
Well, I mean, it's he was down in Costa Rica. That's where they were vacationing. Okay. And a judicial investigative agency told NBC News that that's what happened. Hopefully we'll get some more information, but it's still a tragedy. And if he was on vacation with his parents and he got loaded, I'm just surprised. But 14, you never know. Sorry that Brett Gardner's gone dying, busts you up so much. Maria Shriver, it's sports. That's why he doesn't like sports.
Not at all.
So
now
he'll make fun of a 14-year-old dying. I'm sorry, people. Sorry about that. That's weird. Maria Shriver is taking a look back at the brutal end of her marriage with Arnold Schwarzenegger ahead of the launch of her new poetry book, I Am Maria. The former journalist who filed for divorce from her then-husband in 2011 after 25 years of marriage shared rare comments about navigating the aftermath of her split. In an exclusive excerpt shared by People magazine on March 24th, Shriver revealed that the book was a long time in coming as she looked back at her life at 55. She said, "I was in no emotional shape to write a book. I was barely able to get out of bed." Been there with these marriages. I've been there. It's just terrible. And I think we kind of dismiss it in our society, but she went through it. She shares.
Is she known at all for writing anything, especially poetry?
Other than being a journalist.
Yeah. I guess she'd have to write her own copy, but that doesn't seem typical. I don't know.
She shares four kids: Catherine, Christina, Christopher, Patrick, obviously, who is in White Lotus.
Yeah.
Let's see. She split with Schwarzenegger after finding out that he'd fathered a child during an affair, while dealing with the end of her marriage and career, as well as the deaths of her parents in 2009 and 2011. The author revealed she became consumed with grief. Tough time for her.
Yeah. So she I think that the Arnold incident is a haiku in the book, if you want to buy it.
Haiku. Made on dryer. There you go. Florida is moving toward becoming the first state to pass legislation conforming to the Trump administration's Gulf of America name switch.
You must be very proud, both of you.
The issue has emerged as a GOP point of pride in the state, where Republicans seek to lead on compliance with the federal designation that some Democrats have contended makes Florida look like a laughingstock. State senators advanced a bill on Monday requiring Florida agencies and local schools to update geographic materials to rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. Similar proposals are on the cusp of final passage in the State House. It's our state.
It's exciting. It's fun.
Yeah, only one party controls this state.
Yay! You're going to, Mike, you better set aside some money to buy a new map.
Yes.
Because they're changing the name.
My new atlas will be put up on the wall. Very, very good. People are continuing. Yes, go ahead.
Apple have already changed it in the maps people actually use.
I know. It's very exciting. People are continuing to drown their worries with alcohol. A new study published by the Annals of Internal Medicine showed alcohol use has continued to rise among Americans since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. After previous studies found an increase in alcohol consumption between 18 and 20, 2018 and 2020, the new research sought to determine if people were drinking more or less in 2022. In 2022, 69.3% of surveyed individuals reported some alcohol consumption. That's up from 69.03% in 2020 and 66.34% in 2018. Pretty decent jump to 69.3%.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Drinking more.
For 2020, was that before March 16th that they took the... drinking
people are
stats.
Swelling. People are life's getting tougher. It's a little strained. It's strained. It's stress. Finances. Everything. It's very, very difficult. Snakes escaping. I want a cocktail right now. For the love of God. Finally, today, as we are trying to get through this show, a simple 1 minute test could tell if you're going to die earlier than your peers, according to a health expert. The grip test, which measures the force with which someone can squeeze an object, has long been considered a cheap and easy assessment of physical health. Strong grip strength has been linked to a reduced risk of dying from a number of age-related diseases. Now, they say a simple one-minute test could tell if you're going to die earlier than your peers. It measures the force with which someone can squeeze an object, but this sounds a little different. This is if you can't hold a dumbbell that's 3/4 of your weight for 1 minute, you will die earlier than you would if you were stronger.
How do you hold it?
Are you sure you're reading that right?
It says
3/4 of your weight.
3/4 of your weight. We'll have to discuss. We have to go to break. We will discuss when we come back.
That's strange.
I don't know about this. 3/4 of your weight.
God, that's for me, that's almost 80 pounds.
You wish, pal.
Tell me about it. We'll take
a break and come back with more. Oh, what a day, ladies and gentlemen. Just try to get through it, and we'll be right back with our discussion on that weird subject. Sweet dreams are made of this. I want one right now. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world in the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something, so you are looking for sleep and pleasant dreams. I should read that the way.
Well, Mike, you should sing it. It's the Eurythmics.
Well, I happen to have a reverb microphone at my disposal. Excellent. Right now.
So now, live from the cistern, here's Mike O'Mara.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree?
Oh.
God almighty, I'm so sick of stuff not working. Hi, how are you? It's been a
stressful
morning.
Was that Annie Lennox or Dave Stewart you were singing like? I couldn't
tell. I think it was the raving out. Who's the guy from Oasis?
Oh, Noel Gallagher?
Noel Gallagher. That's who I was doing my... if you're looking for something, sleep and pleasant dreams, no sweat. This podcast is sponsored by Soul. S-O-U-L. The team at Soul just launched their new out-of-office nightcap gummies, which are similar to their world-famous sleep gummies. But nightcap gummies have 3 milligrams of THC for people who require something a little stronger to go to sleep. I rely on something stronger to get me through the rest of this day.
Mike just took 10 Soul gummies.
THC and melatonin and Soul's nightcap gummies work together to promote deep restorative sleep. How? Well, THC helps you go to sleep faster and stay asleep longer. The melatonin signals your body that it's time to sleep. And Soul's out-of-office nightcap gummies also contain CBN and CBD, so you sleep deeply and wake up without feeling groggy. And of course, Soul obviously made them absolutely delicious. Blueberry lemonade flavor. Crikey, that's yummy. Plus, if you want to treat yourself, crack open a cold out-of-office sparkling THC beverage. Right over there.
Go get one.
Right over there. Delicious and relaxing. Be like Rob. Subscribe. He does. He subscribes to these wonderful little helpers. Josh does too. They do not disappoint. So hit snooze on crappy sleep and prepare for a great night. Go to GetSoul.com. Use code TMOS for 30% off your order. That's 30% off your order using code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com and code TMOS for 30% off. So I read this story.
Right.
And I agree with Josh. It's like, what the hell? 3/4 of your body weight? That's
I just
a lot
did the
of
math.
Weight in a dumbbell.
I'm saying, because, I mean, are you asked to, like, bench press it or just
I
carry
just
it? Or
you're supposed to pick it up to your waist and hold it there for 1 minute.
All right, so for me, it would be 194 pounds and a quarter. So roughly
200 pounds.
195
There's
pounds.
No way you could hold that.
No.
For less than, you couldn't even pick it up probably.
I might be able to pick it up for a moment, but I don't think for a minute. So I guess I'm dying.
But I mean, it just seems strange that that would be the test. But I guess
I like the
you...
grip test better. I think the grip test is probably better.
But if probably better if you don't want to face reality.
Well, if you don't want to pick up a dumbbell,
So, but it makes sense that if you are a reasonable weight
that you would be. Oh, by the way, did you see the clip from Doug Track the other day? That he
long
put out
one. Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
he still makes me laugh.
He makes really, me laugh really always. He's aging a bit, but he's
but what is
landing
that deal
well.
That, you know, whenever the spirit moves him, just gets on there. And yeah.
Well, I think that the cameo market might be a little dry, so he might be goosing that. So, Josh, I don't know if this is too forward of me, but what is your weight? You don't have to answer.
110 pounds.
Stop it. Tell the truth.
No, 210.
Okay.
So 210, that would mean that you are.
That's like 160?
105. That'd be half.
No, so, that'd be like 157
and a half pounds for Josh.
Yeah.
It's a lot of weight to hold for 60.
That is.
Maybe I have to try that at the gym later today.
Yeah. That's 16 bags of sugar. 32 if they're 5-pounders.
So what do? You get, can you hold two of them? Dumbbells? Come on, this doesn't make sense.
No, I don't like it at all. I don't like
it. If you can't hold a dumbbell, that's 3/4 of your weight for 1 minute. That's a lot of people they're talking about here.
Yeah.
You will die earlier than you would if you were stronger.
Well, you'll die before the age of 100.
So bodybuilders probably would be able to handle that. I mean, I'm talking.
I also think the vagueness.
185 to hold that.
The vagueness of that statement means that they're probably sort of making.
What's
it
half
up.
Of 245, Rob Spiewak?
122.5.
122.5. I wonder if I could. I'd love to know. I could pick up and hold for 60 seconds a 100-pound dumbbell. I know I could do that. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's okay. And Josh, yours would be how much? How much would you
157.
Have to? 157. Why is Rob's more than mine? Why is mine less than the?
Well, hold on.
Did
what
you
is
do
your...
3/4 or did you do half?
I think he did half.
Oh, 3/4 is what
three-quarter.
I wanted you to do. You did
so,
it. I asked you.
Yeah, so what is your? What is
245.
Okay. So 245 times 0.75 is 183.75. So it'd be roughly 184 pounds for you. Or if you split it into two, 92 pounds in each hand. Are you allowed to split it?
92 pounds. So if you could stand, does that mean one dumbbell? If you can hold a dumbbell.
Well, I'm saying
how many dumbbells are 180 pounds?
True.
Right?
They
have 200 pounders, right? The 200 pounders are for the bodybuilders.
Well,
there
is a gym on the cruise this December. We'll all go hold dumbbells for a minute.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Very. I'd like to learn more because these fascinate me. All of these things fascinate me. Longevity at my age is something I'm paying attention to all of the time. And, that's interesting. I don't know. I don't think I could pull that off.
But if
there were two of them, I might be able to pull it. I'm not sure.
I think the...
See what the comments are saying. It's not as hard as they're making it out. If you don't have to lift the weight above your waist, it's not nearly as difficult to hold the weight.
You know, he's bringing up a good point because you know what you can do? You can lift with your knees. And your knees are stronger than your upper body.
This is more about if you get the weight up to your waist, holding it for 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's also part. It's like the grip test a little bit.
Go ahead, Josh.
Well, it's like that test you'd have to do in gym class where instead of a pull-up, you just hold your body.
You hold your body weight. You can
long you can hang there.
And aren't there like carnival games too, where you can hold up here, for a particular amount of time, you'll do it. I think that's the way.
I remember back in the days of the presidential physical fitness test in school, where if you reached certain marks, you got a patch or whatever. And for guys, you had to do pull-ups, but for girls, it was the flexed arm hang because of the different construction of the arm strength.
Were you able to do a pull-up?
I've never done a pull up in my life.
Not even when you were a kid?
No.
During that, did you have to climb the rope?
I tried, but the rope kept coming down.
I was challenged by the rope. I think a lot of people would be. The rope was not only strength, but it was also technique.
Yeah.
And I had trouble with the technique of putting the feet together and getting that.
I got in trouble because in our gym we had three ropes hanging And I got early to gym and I started doing macrame. And they said, no, Spiwak, stop it.
Did you even try the rope?
No, I wouldn't try that.
They didn't make you do it?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay. And they didn't have the rope when I was in high school. So I've only seen it in movies. So I wasn't even sure if it was real.
Kind of an old school, an old school device.
Seeing them lifted up when you weren't using them. They were pulled up by a pulley hanging in the gym. And they were thick like Queen Mary ropes that you would see on a dock.
Super thick.
And the bottom had a leather cap on it so it wouldn't unravel. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that we did, because when I first went to school, it was even before rope was invented. What we did was we pushed the wheel that had been brought. We had one wheel in our town.
The hard part was it even round, though?
It chiseled. It was sort of round, but it was great. And then we all gathered around the fire. It was also exciting and new.
I remember your acceptance speech for the award, Mike. It went, no, no, no,
fire.
No, no, no,
We will take a break, and we will come back with another Sprite challenge right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Yes, Mr. Spiwak will be trying that, and Jake is safe. Life is good. Congratulations to all. Ladies and gentlemen, are you struggling to shed those last 5 to 10 pounds? Microdosing with semaglutide or tirzepatide might just be the game changer you've been looking for. The best part? No BMI requirement. Whether you're just looking to fine-tune your weight loss or break through a plateau, Carla O'Mara has you covered. You see at DermGlowSkin.com. It's a simple process. Take the quick online quiz to get doctor approval and then have your treatment shipped straight to your door. No long appointments, no waiting rooms, just results. Plus, payment plans are available, so reaching your goals has never been more accessible. Why wait? Get started today at DermGlowSkin.com and take the first step toward the body you want. Carla's inbox always open. Email her today. Be the best that you can be. Welcome back to the show. Yesterday, I came in here with a Sprite Zero, and I said really that I wasn't doing the pure version of the challenge. I was actually more using the wrong product. The real challenge is to use a real sugary Sprite. And our number one sugary drink aficionado on the show is Mr. Rob Spiwak. Josh, I didn't even ask you. Would you be willing, after Rob does it today, to maybe give it a crack tomorrow?
I can probably grab one.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
So Rob, we discussed the size yesterday of your bottle, and this is still a 20-ounce bottle.
Right.
Of Sprite. Would you care to guess the amount of calories in 20 ounces of Sprite?
300.
Josh?
210.
200. 200. So it's 200? Actually almost a diet drink.
How many grams of sugar? 63, I'll say.
53. With one carb of added sugar. So it's 54 grams of carbs, of which 53 is sugar.
And the Sprite Challenge, since we honed it and refined it yesterday, has been around for many, many years. And it's just resurfaced again where some people are trying that. We thought it'd be fun. I brought it in here, and then Rob's going to try it today. It is drink an entire 20-ounce beverage without burping. But, of course, everybody burps, and that's part of the fun. And Rob knows that, and Rob is a great belcher.
I hope that the only thing I'm thinking about is this rapid of a consumption followed by burp. I hope no foam rises.
I had a bit of a foamy burp yesterday.
Yeah.
But, you've
is that still your DJ name?
A bit of a foam.
Yes. Foamy
burp. Let's tackle it. We're running late today, so let's go for it.
Okay. Opening fresh soda.
Nothing like a Sprite.
Sprite's very good. Yeah, I like
Delish, it. Delish, the original.
All right. Very carbonated, and here we go.
Good luck. I had trouble chugging it yesterday. Rob is
It doesn't seem a chug-friendly drink.
He seems to be. Yeah, got a little stop there.
Oh, that was about 10 ounces, I think.
You nailed it. That's better than I did. That's really, really good. All right.
Uh-oh.
All right. Are you okay? Are you okay?
I had to make some space.
Really? I thought you were going down for a second.
No. Right? I'm fine. Yeah, 100%.
Don't want any fatalities on this show.
Let's see if we can't kill this.
All right. It says 7-Up. Mark Scoobles says 7-Up has more carbonation and a better soda. It's done. Did you kill it?
I killed it.
Look at that. That's much better than I did yesterday.
Okay, now right. Let's. I'm going to do what I suggested you did yesterday. I'm going to stand up for a second.
Okay.
By the way, do you know I wore this shirt on the first episode of this podcast? Like 40 years ago?
Yes, Linus. That's wonderful.
And 3,000 cents.
Charlie.
I forced it a little bit, but
yeah,
I needed to.
Yeah, that sounded sickly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank
delightful.
You.
Delightful. Delightful.
But, yeah,
the best
I
show
I
we've ever done.
I totally recommend the challenge, Mike.
Yes.
I feel challenged.
That's good. Do you feel better now that you let that out of you? You think there's any more in there?
You know what? Let's see during Beautiful Video.
Beautiful Video. We'll take a break. Come back with Beautiful Video. The snake is safe. Rob is safe.
This room smells weird.
You don't breakfast before the show. I know that.
I know.
Anyway, we'll take a brief break. Come back with some Beautiful Video because we care about you. And then we're all going to the Chandler Wildlife Refuge. hey, everybody, do you have any magical memories like the time you made your wife use driver's assist? Are they trapped on VHS tapes or film reels and you just aren't sure where to start? Chill out, Karen. We found the perfect solution.
Karen.
It's called Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the simple and safe solution for digitizing all your family's precious memories. And if I can say, take a peek and see what we found on one of the photos.
No.
Oh, perhaps I'll mute it, too. The best board op day Mike's ever had. Absolutely. Yeah. LegacyBox.com. When you go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 50% off when you get started today. Co-founders Nick and Adam started Legacy Box in their college dorm room over a decade ago. Since then, it's grown from a team of the two guys that started it to the largest, most trusted digitizing company in the world. Right now, when you purchase a Legacy Box, you get 90 days free access to the Legacy Box Cloud, which is the easiest way to stream, share, and download your memories. It's like Netflix, but for your home movies. You can stream your vids or pics anywhere, download, organize, and save them, and store them securely. The Legacy Box Cloud brings you peace of mind, and now you can't even lose your photos if you tried. And take a look what we saw on this particular photo. That's right. It was the murder weapon.
Is that Carla singing in that sting? Is that Carla singing?
Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS to save 50% for a limited time only. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS. That's LegacyBox.com/TMOS.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Cherry time.
Can be ours. Very nice. Mike, Billy Ray Cyrus. It must be hard to be Billy Ray Cyrus because now he has been eclipsed tenfold by his daughter.
Absolutely.
He was always laughed at as sort of being a one-hit wonder, but he's always stayed in the public eye. He's got a new song out called Ask, and people don't like it, but I'm scared it's looking at him the way, because, I mean, give him what you want. He was a handsome lad back in the days of Achy Breaky Heart.
I remember those white sneakers he used to like to wear.
Big trademark, right? Yeah. Acid wash jeans and white sneakers. But look at him now.
Never seen you looking so lovely as you did tonight.
That's not him.
That's not him at all. What
no.
are you doing?
This is the new song, Ask. Billy Ray Cyrus, honestly, looks like a Harry Potter villain. Okay. This is the new video for Ask.
Listen up.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to tell you a little story now.
Oh, God. Ridiculous.
Been top of the mound. Got lost in the cloud.
I'm all for being cool, but look clean.
No, but it's hair dye. And
I know, but he just looks dirty. And
I mean, and we sell hair dye. I'm all for guys, taking a little gray out. But
I don't think it looks
silly.
That bad.
You think it looks okay?
I think it looks all right. Yeah, he's an older musician.
Only thing I like.
Yeah, the dye's a little overdone in the beard. Back.
I think the dye might, the problem might be the eyebrows there.
Let's take a look. Come on,
a little more.
Like to see Billy. Terrible.
I lost my mind.
What is
he
is
63
How about
years
the vocal?
What vocal?
I mean, that sounds seriously like a guy that's done a lot of gang, smoked it, and the vocal cords might be showing it.
The last time we saw him, wasn't he pissed off at an inaugural ball because the music was screwed up?
I think that was it. But boy, oh boy, the voice sounds, you know, that's the whole deal. Not that he was known for his dulcet tones anywhere, achy, breaky heart. I mean, give me a break, Billy.
And also he did that down the road or down the, what is it? It was a duet with another, it was a rap crossover. Old Town Road.
Yeah. Take my horse to the Old Town. And his voice was fine when he did that.
Let's cleanse our palate with this. I know we've already seen The Youth, but I feel bad if I don't play the very end.
I never seen you shine so bright.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's enough.
Thank you.
You have not yet watched White Lotus this week, right?
No, I have not checked it out yet.
Gemstones?
And I'm not sure. I think I will, but when I start putting something on my list and then I shy away from it, sometimes I'll bail on it completely.
Yeah. Okay. Josh, have you finished Residence yet?
Yes, I am all caught up.
Okay, good. So that's a two-day binge that's disappointing. But anyway, back to White Lotus. I don't know if this is manufactured by the White Lotus people, although I find it very entertaining. People are lip-syncing Parker Posey. There's a clip of her doing some of her catchphrases on the Today Show that sort of spotlight her accent, and now people are just lip-syncing it, and it's trending on TikTok.
Oh, no! Tsunami! Buddhism! No! No!
And that's evolved into people just doing impressions.
For now, tsunami. Buddhism. No. No.
Is someone's mic on?
But really, that made me more aware of Parker Posey's voice. And now maybe I like it a little better.
Can I tell you, though, is there a more off-putting character than her on that show?
No.
She is so annoying. She is so, I mean, and she's a great actress because she's supposed to be that way.
Exactly.
So despicable. Really so despicable. And, but that show, it's the, I don't want to spoil alert, but worth, there's a Sprite.
Sorry about that. That was an aftershock.
Worth watching?
I think it always is because it's not much happens. But it's still a beautiful show, and I like the cast. And I know we've been saying this for 5 weeks, but I think they are building up to something.
Yeah. Next week's when we find something out.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I get it. That's fine.
Mike, you know, we've already discussed I don't like owls today. I don't like most birds of all sorts. I don't like wild
horses.
Or
snakes.
Don't like snakes.
Or horses. You don't like animals. We've determined that today. You like a dog. You like domesticated
animals.
Dog.
Yeah, but it's wild. That's the problem.
I don't like vermin. And that's why this man is wrong. We must not domesticate raccoons.
A Lenexa man is trying to legalize pet raccoons in the state of Kansas. He's one step closer after testifying before the Kansas legislature last month in a hearing. I'm Jian Kim, and I talked to Stephen Casper about his efforts, as well as a conservation expert about the feasibility of domesticating wildlife.
The efforts. This is horrifying.
So this is a story about a man and his love for raccoons.
Little creatures that I'm like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Every night around 9 p.m., Stephen Casper goes out to his deck. He brings the marshmallows. The raccoons bring their appetite.
It's all about trust, and it takes a while.
Stephen and his wife are empty nesters. For the last several years, he's been channeling his paternal instincts here. He's hoping to make them family.
They're vermin.
No,
my
I don't
sister,
mind it.
My sister, in the day, back in the day, I think his name was Chatter, and her boyfriend, Kenny, had a pet. He found a baby raccoon that had been abandoned, and he raised it, and it was totally domesticated, and I held it, and my family members held it, and cutest thing in the world, huh?
Did it poop inside? Did
it
live inside?
I didn't know where it pooped. It never pooped on me.
Well, I mean, that's good. But, I mean, was it like a litter box thing?
I don't know how it went to potty. I have no idea. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not
did it,
sure.
Did it eventually leave as a thief in the night and taking jewelry or anything?
I don't know, hater.
Because
you are
they
such
can't
a
be.
Hater today.
Mike, they
I don't
destroyed.
Know which is shaking me up more today. You hating everything or me losing a snake? It's been a weird, weird energy.
Other
on
than
show
that,
today.
It's been absolutely normal.
Oh, fantastic.
Just like yes. This weatherman in Australia, I believe it's Australia, doing a weather hit. This is wild because I have to assume the guy that is the main character in this spotted the reporter, realized his window was in the shot, way behind, and what does he do? A lovely dance.
Behind me now with those wind gusts and the torrential rain. It, well, Melissa, if anything, Alfred could even speed up.
Now it's still
I think
dancing.
He sped up
he's
slightly. I think it'll be in Moreton Bay before sunrise and definitely impacting the coast not long after that. So he could surprise us. Just be careful that he might arrive a little earlier than expected. I can assure you we're getting to some cyclonic conditions right behind me now with those wind gusts and the torrential rain. It is starting here in Surfers Paradise, and it's on the way across the rest.
I mean, how I great is
people.
That?
That's when you love human beings right there.
Yeah.
That somebody can do something that stupid.
Probably
he sitting in his
knew.
Living room watching the live report and says, yeah. Hey, that's my apartment building.
And it's funny. It's the only light on in the whole high rise. And he's going for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the greatest Australian accent I've ever had. A light cyclone. That's the cyclone.
Oh,
is
even better.
Guy.
It's cyclonic. The wind is cyclonic.
There
eat
we
your toasties.
Are. So there we go. And yes, I'm the Keith Morriston of Australia. But where was the murder weapon, hey? Sorry. Love that sound.
Okay. The guy danced and then ate his cornies. Mm-hmm. Let's close with this. Mike, I don't know if this was bedroom play gone wrong or a sexual incident, but the man said he only wanted to see if his hand fit in his girlfriend's mouth. Well, here's the thing. It did, which is great. Getting it out was a problem.
Oh, God.
He's in an emergency room.
Wait. You said it was the girl.
Yeah, you got
his
it
hand,
up.
You got it totally screwed up.
No. I said,
no,
oh,
you
know
said.
What? You're right. I apologize. But.
All right. He wanted to see if he could fit his girlfriend's hand in his mouth. Let's
right.
roll it again so
okay.
we see it.
Oh, God.
This is an emergency room.
I smell a rat.
No, this is fake.
Totally fake.
You can get that hand out.
Yeah. Yeah, and the whole whimpering thing is that's fake. That's
and who's fake. Videotaping?
Oh,
is it his other hand?
Yeah.
Is he videotaping
play it one
himself?
More time. We'll scam him out here. Absolutely. Let's see what it looks like.
I've never seen you looking so lovely as you did
right,
tonight.
What do you think? Is it real or not?
Right. Let's check it. Let's see.
Okay. Here's a glory song.
Come on. God.
He's Queensland.
Oh, sorry. Here we go. We have to know if this is real.
I like who's shooting it. That might tell us something right here. Let's see.
God.
No, he's not shooting it.
Yeah. So what does that mean?
I know
that
who's
means,
shooting it.
That
guy
no,
who drove
somebody
no.
is shooting it. Somebody staged it.
It's fake. If it was real, the video would be trying to yank the hand out.
Put a candy in the jar. Put a candy in the
wow,
jar.
Wow, just for that?
Yes.
For bringing a fake video?
Yeah, bringing a fake video.
You didn't
video.
Enjoy that?
You set it up incorrectly, and we had to reset
no,
it
I
up for you.
That. I agree for that.
And then it was yeah. a fake video. That's two.
That or see if you can get your hand stuck in your mouth.
I can.
That's right. And, of course, the whimpering is what did it for me.
Well, it's a different culture. You don't know.
And no there. Attempt to get it out.
God, let's get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God. I hope you found some enjoyment out of our little band of performers today, ladies and gentlemen. We are looking forward to rejoining you tomorrow when Josh has committed to doing the Sprite Challenge. And also, we will address all the problems of the world. No, we won't. We'll just be as stupid as we were today. For Josh Soroka and Mike O'Mara, I'm still discombobulated about the snake. I really am. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Now, I'm delighted, all of us are delighted. You've been fine. Now get home safely. Good night.
But in the end, you die in your own arms. It's all a big nothing. What makes you think you're so special?
Now what kind of an attitude is that? These things happen. They only happen because the whole country is just full of people who, when these things happen, they just say, these things happen, and that's why they happen.
Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on. It's about keeping everything secure.